You're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
Good morning. Great Scott. Is it a good morning? When the kids were little, I would often wrestle with my boys. And I always felt good about myself after, because they couldn't handle me. I would always end up victorious. And I don't know if you've seen the size of my boys. They left this morning. They're big. And I'm a little tinier than I used to be. They handle me now, and they don't even have to gang up on me. They just do it in different sessions, and then like one will be done, and then the next one will come at me. I long for the days when I could just kind of trap them underneath a blanket and laugh. I can't do that anymore. And that got me thinking about the different things that, or the things that have changed over the years. And I remember when I was a teenager, I had energy. I could eat anything, and I could eat lots of everything. And then I could go, I don't know, run a mile. I don't know why I would, but I could do that if I wanted to. And then, you know, you get a little bit wiser, and then all of a sudden you wake up in the morning and you're sore from sleeping. And I don't understand how that is all kind of transpired over the years, but that does happen to me now. And there's a number of things that are uncomfortable about getting older. And I don't know if you are experiencing that or if you just think that's never going to come. Believe me, it will come. And when it does, I will laugh at you. I think about these. Like, when Wayne and I go fishing with Dean or whatever, like, we need these to tie knots now. Or we just sit in the boat and we don't do any fishing. When I come up here, I need them to read my Bible. And now I have found that not only do I need reading glasses, and I'm sore all the time, and my boys beat up on me, and all those sorts of things that come with aging, but now I find, I don't know if you found this, but I find, yes, I need more light. Have you ever found that you need more light? I mean, the ordinary things that you would walk in the room to find, or, you know, you want to look around, you're looking for something. I turn on the light on my phone all the time. I might as well have it on all the time, because I need it to just be able to see the normal things that I used to be able to see. This is not a diatribe of complaints. I am going somewhere, I promise you. I think that specifically, maybe not all the other complaints, maybe you have experienced them, maybe you have not, but I think that each and every one of us, no matter who we are, we need more light, don't we? I think we need more light. We can always use more light. I mean, it gets to the point, yes, where things get a little too bright and, you know, the sun is in your eyes or all that sort of thing, but I think every one of us needs more light. And during the Christmas season this year, we were talking, Pastor Matt and I have been talking about Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2, and just specifically the Christmas story. I think we've gone through basically chapter 1 and chapter 2. But really, it was all centered around this idea that comes in Luke chapter 1, verse 78. Verse 77 says, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. And then verse 78, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise will visit us from on high. I don't know if you saw the sunrise this morning. It was beautiful. It was just out that way a bit. I actually snapped a picture with my phone. But it just reminded me again of what Christmas is all about. It's about the bringing of the light, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. And there are so many words that are associated with Christmas, and specifically about Jesus and about the reason why Jesus came. And there's metaphors and there's similes and there's descriptive words and there's all these different things that come to us in the Bible that describe how Jesus came, why he came, and just different things that describe the manner in which he came. And I just want to focus this morning, on this idea of light. Because if you read on, verse 78 of chapter 1 says, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. And then it says this, right at the end, verse 79, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And I don't know exactly where you are here this morning, but I want us to consider this idea of light, and specifically in relation to the Christmas story. When we as believers in Jesus, if you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, when you think of the light at Christmas, we think of Jesus' light. The Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world. And the Christmas story is really this story of God's light. And it's the story of God's light breaking into a very dark world. He lit up Christmas. He lit up the world. And I'm thinking that maybe today, I'm thinking about the light that we have, this light that we're talking about. It's not just the light that we turn on when we walk into a room or anything like that, but it's the light that I want us to consider is the light that's inside of us. We would like, I hope, to sense that somehow the light that is supposed to be all about Christmas is not just on the outside. It's not just something that we witness every Christmas, but it is something that we witness day by day. We'd like to sense that somehow the light that is supposed to be all about Christmas is not just on the outside, but also in the inside of us. We would like the darkness of doubt and despair to be dispelled from our minds. Certainly at this time of year, but I would even suggest that maybe we want it every day of the year. Surely we do. So if you don't have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1. I would encourage you to do that. And that passage that Pastor Matt read for us, I just want to go over some of the verses that are in there that are in relation to this idea of light. Because Jesus is represented in a number of different ways in the Bible. Jesus is represented a number of different ways at Christmas, in relation to Christmas. And I would suggest that not only is he, John refers to him as the Word. John refers to him as flesh. John refers to him as Savior, as God, as all these things. John also refers to Jesus, just like Luke did, as the light of the world. And so I would suggest to you that Jesus this morning is light. That's what we want to talk about. I want to talk about Jesus as light. And this one truth, Jesus as the sunrise of our salvation, and this, if we really grab onto that, if we really hold on to it, if it enters our lives, I think it will light up our lives. Not just at Christmas, but all year round. And so John chapter 1, and specifically it starts there in verse 3. John has just described Jesus as the Word, and he has described him as being with God and being God himself. And then he was in the beginning with God. And then verse 3 says this: all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the light, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So here's what I want us to see this morning. Just a few things that I just want to point out that are in relation to what we've been talking about over the last month, and specifically some things that we talk about every Christmas. In verses 1 and 2, John tells us that the Word, who the Word is, or who Jesus is. And then in verses 3, and then following all the way down to verse 13, John's going to tell us not just who the Word is, but also what the Word does and what he did. And so in verses 3 and 4, that's what John tells us. And let me just give you three things this morning, or maybe four, I can't remember. The first thing is that the Word, or Jesus, lit up the entire created world. Jesus came as this idea of light, and he lit up the entire created world. If you want to know how we got here, if you want to know why or how there is any light and any life in our world, it is because the Word made it. It is because Jesus was there at the very beginning. The Word, John says, lit up the entire created world. So John says, through Jesus, everything was made. Through the Word, all things were made. And that's a staggering statement that you can't just walk by. John is saying that the Word, Jesus, is the one who made everything. There isn't any created thing in the entire world that he did not make. And maybe that's a puzzling statement to you. I hope that it's not a puzzling statement to you. But, I mean, think about all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. I'll just read it for you. Where's Genesis again? Oh, it's at the beginning. Right. That was a joke, by the way. I know where Genesis is. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and then it says, the darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So in the beginning, there was darkness, and then, verse 3, and God said, let there be light. John is saying in his gospel, in chapter 1, that the Word, Jesus, created everything. But the answer, or sorry, but so what John is saying is that Jesus was there at the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And now John is saying in chapter 1 of his gospel, in the beginning was the Word. Same thing, same idea as Genesis chapter 1. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. So he's referencing back all the way to Genesis chapter 1. Okay? I'm not explaining this properly, but just try to stick with me here. The idea comes when you remember that the one God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, was there and existed. The one God was at the beginning, and he existed in Father, Son, Spirit. So there was this community, and there was this unity in the Godhead, and it's true that God the Father created, but it was also true that God the Son created, and it's also true that God the Spirit created, because they are one God. In fact, the Bible says that even that they were all there at the beginning. They're all mentioned there. The book of Hebrews essentially says the same thing. Theologians would say that Jesus was the agent of creation. Back in Genesis chapter 1, we are told that God created through the spoken word. And God said, let there be light. He spoke light into existence, right? And now we're discovering that the spoken word, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Now we're discovering that the spoken word in Genesis chapter 1 speaks to and points to the living word in John chapter 1. That God created through the living word, through Jesus Christ. So John is trying to make us see. I'm finally getting to the point. John is trying to make us see that the baby that we see in Bethlehem was actually the one who lit up the entire created world. And he did that by giving light to everything. So John is saying that the word Jesus lit up the created world by giving his own life to everything that lives. He animated, he was the agent of creation. He essentially breathed life into creation. So when you're thinking about Christmas, this time of year that we just celebrated, you're looking at this little baby in the manger, you're also looking at the one who made everything. And he lit up the entire created world. And then, as John moves on in this passage, in chapter 1, verse 5, he's not only saying that Jesus lit up the created world with light, but he also brought it into the world at Christmas. This is what verse 5 says. Look at verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So John here gives us a second thing. Not only did Jesus, when he came, light up the entire created world, but he also came as a light to the entire darkened world. John does a little play on words here. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says, the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So, right at the very beginning, there was darkness, right? We agree on that. And then, in verse 3 of Genesis, it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So God speaks into the darkness, and he brings the light, right? Everybody with me? Everybody agree with that? Okay, I'm just going to assume that you're with me. John in his gospel does the same thing. He does something similar in verse 5. The light shines into the darkness, same thing as Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's almost like Jesus came. When Jesus came, everything was dark, like it was a creation. And Jesus comes and brings light. So here's my point. Why was it dark when Jesus came to Bethlehem? Why was it dark? How do we go from the light of creation to the darkness at Christmas? Well, I mean, obviously, this is a rhetorical question because I think that you know the answer. Because if you read your Bibles, you would know that between creation and Christmas, there was a moral failure. There was a moral catastrophe. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They defied God, and they brought upon this world this moral darkness. And that's why when you read through the Gospel of John, he uses the word, almost every time that he uses the word world, he uses it in a negative tone. Chapter 8, verse 23, I am not of this world. Chapter 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me first. See, the sad thing is, the sad thing is that you, me, everybody else in the entire world that has ever lived has somehow become comfortable with the dark. We have become comfortable with the darkness. We have gotten so used to the darkness that we actually prefer it. John chapter 3 and verse 19, it says this. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. So Jesus comes as a light into a darkened world. He comes into a place where there are a lot of people who are living in darkness. They are comfortable in darkness, and they are actually not only comfortable there, they're hostile to the light. And so think of where we have come. Here is creation, and the Word, Jesus, lights up the entire created world. And by the time we get from creation to Christmas, somehow the world has gone dark again, and the light has come, and the light that come has come that the darkness is resisting it. So what is God going to do when he sends his son into the world knowing that it is a dark place? Well, that's the very reason why he sent his son. He sent his son into the world because it was dark, because it needed to be lit up. And if you go back to our passage in verse 6, it will all the way down to verse 11, it will tell you that God decided to send a witness in advance of his to his son. He knew that this world was not only going to be used to the darkness, but they were going to be hostile to the light. And that's the third thing that I think that we would see. Jesus had a witness into this hostile world. So not only did Jesus light up the entire created world, he came as a light into a darkened world. He also had a witness into this hostile world. and we know that, we talked about it a month ago, that Elizabeth and Zechariah had a little baby. And his name was John. We know him better as John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. So John was sent to be a forebearer, or he was sent to be a witness into what kind of world? A dark world, a hostile world. And he was there to testify for Jesus. That's what verse 7 says. He came as a witness, John came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, and all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. So John was sent to be someone who testified about the light. He wasn't the light himself, but he was a witness to the light. I mean, if you think about it, does anybody really need to testify about the light? I mean, light testifies for itself, right? If you have, if you are standing in a dark room and you turn on a flashlight, everybody sees the light. Nobody has to stand there and go, hey, this is light. We all see it. I remember when we went to South Dakota a number of years ago, saw Mount Rushmore or whatever. We went down into some caves. I can't remember how far down we went, but it was really, really deep and dark. And at one point, everything was all lit up and the trails and the places or whatever. But one time, we're standing in a group and they turned the lights off. And there's no light anywhere. Like, that is darkness that you can actually almost reach out and grab. It's so dark. There's nothing that you can see because there's no light there. And if somebody flicked on a light, which they did, we could all see that light. And yet, Jesus had John, and John was this witness to the light. Why did he come? I would say for two reasons. The first reason comes to us in verse 10 and 11 give us two reasons, actually, why John came. Verse 10 says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. And then verse 11, he came to his own, and his own people did not recognize him and did not receive him. So, John, in John's gospel here, he's telling us why John came, John the Baptist came. The first was because the people were spiritually blinded. That was the case in Bethlehem. Think about it. I mean, when Jesus was born, did the entire place, did the entire nation, not the entire nation, not the entire place that surrounded Bethlehem, not even the people of Bethlehem, none of them flocked to the manger. They didn't go. It was only the shepherds. The people in the town of Bethlehem should have known. They should have known, because there were prophecies, there were things that predicted that this was going to happen. The shepherds heard the news, and they were locals, and it says that they went about and they told everybody about what they had seen and what they had witnessed, and they told everybody about the baby. And then Mary and Joseph stayed there for a long time, because the Magi came at some point, and Mary and Joseph were living in a house. And yet with all that, there is no evidence that anybody or anyone ever said, hey, did you hear the news? Did you hear about what the shepherds were saying about the angels and the Messiah? Nobody said anything, because there was spiritual blindness. And that continued on all the way through as Jesus came. You know, I mean, Jesus... And everybody who witnessed for Jesus would say, John the Baptist would say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was talking about Jesus being the Messiah. But the people that were living in that era would say, that's not my Messiah. That's not the Messiah that I want. And so he's not my Messiah. These people were spiritually blinded. They knew what they wanted. They had no idea what they needed, because they were blind to it. And not only, I think, verse 11 tells us that not only were they blinded, but it says he came to his own and his own people did not receive him. They did not recognize him. Do you know why? Because they were spiritually hardened. Not only blinded, but spiritually hardened. Not my Messiah. Not that guy. He's not going to do anything for me. Because they didn't even know or care about what they needed. This world that Jesus came into was hostile. Is it any less hostile today? I'd say more so. Because people are taking the very word of God and they're cutting it up, and they're copying and pasting, and they're adding things and they're subtracting things, and they're saying that this actually isn't relevant for today. This is more relevant for today, and they'll say this or that or that. That's not true. That's not right. Jesus came to be the light of the world. And this world is spiritually blinded and hostile to it. This world has become a very dark place where there are some who are blinded and some who are hardened. But the truth is that it just doesn't have to be that way. And verse 12, I've given you all the bad news. Verse 12, actually, we start to see a little bit of a glimmer of hope. It says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the light to become children of God. Oh, now we see a little bit of the hope that comes at Christmas, right? We start We started out by saying that the word lit up the created world, and then the world came to be a light in a dark world, and we said that the word Jesus had a witness named John in this hostile world, but now verse 12 tells us that the word Jesus wants to come into your personal world, because that's why he came. Most of all, he wants to be intimately involved in your life. The offer in verse 12 is for everyone. It is for anyone. Anyone who will receive him. Jesus is coming and he's looking for a welcome into your personal world. It's corporate, but it's also at the very same time, it's personal. He says it means... Jesus is coming and he's looking for a welcome into your personal world. So let me ask you, do you really understand what that means? What does it mean that Jesus wants a welcome into your personal world? It means that you believe in his name. And what does that mean? Well, his name speaks to who Jesus is. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus saves. And receiving Jesus means believing who he is, and who he said he was, and what he said he came to do. Jesus is the creator of all things. He is the one who was with God at the very beginning. He is the one who was God, who was with God, and he is the one who is God. Jesus was fully God and fully man. So it means... this welcome into your personal world, it means that you recognize and you believe in who Jesus is, in his identity. It receiving means that you believe certain things about Jesus. And it's even more than that, because receiving means welcoming him into your life, into your personal world. You believe him and you welcome him. You open the door. And you invite him in. I mean, I think I've used this before, but I'm going to just say it again. Imagine your personal world, okay? Your personal world. Every one of us has one. Imagine it's like a grand dining room, okay? And you have this huge table, and it's got all sorts of seats around, and seated at the table in your personal dining room are all the important people in your life, all the influencers, all the people that you look up to, all the people that you listen to, all the people that you love. They're seated around this table. Okay? Your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your parents, your best friend, your sisters, your brothers, your boss, your favorite musician, your favorite movie star, your favorite author. All these people are there at the table, and then you hear a knock at the door, and you go and answer the door, and Jesus is standing there. And he's looking to come in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and have supper and all that sort of stuff. So Jesus is looking for this invitation into your personal world. He's looking for a seat at the table, right? Well, sure he is. Okay, so let me tell you what welcoming Jesus into your personal world does not mean in this frame, in this reference. Receiving Jesus does not mean you open the door and you tell Jesus to come in and try to find a seat at your table. Hey, just take an open chair. Or, oh, all the seats are taken? Just maybe you could just stand in the corner. Is there room? You know, Jesus is pretty tight in here. Standing room only. I think there's room here. That's not what we're talking about here. It's not saying, Jesus, you are now sitting or standing at the table of the influencers of my life. You now, congratulations, Jesus, you have a voice. If we vote on something, you get to vote. Well done. That's not what the Bible means by receiving Jesus into your personal world. That's not what it means. In this picture, it means that you are saying, Jesus, come in. I have been sitting at the head table. I've been sitting at the head of the table all my life, but now I'm giving you my chair. And you sit at the head of the table, and Jesus, your voice matters more than any other voice. You and your will matters more than anyone else's. If there is a conflict between what you say, Jesus, and what anyone else says, I'm going with what you say. Because I am receiving you. I am welcoming you into my personal world. I am believing in your name. Because you didn't just come here to be my guest. You came here to be my God. That's what welcoming Jesus into your personal world really means. It means giving over control. It means handing the reins over to Jesus. You didn't just come here to be my servant, to make my life a little better. You came to be my Savior, Jesus. Your voice is the one I want to look to. Come in and take my seat. I'll stand. That's what it means to receive Jesus. That's what Jesus is looking for. And so I would say this, if you are willing to do that, he makes you a promise. Did you see that in verse 12? Jesus is saying that when you receive him, you are not just his creation, you are one of his children. That's what verse 12 says. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the light to become children of God. And then verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Not a physical birth, but a spiritual rebirth. And the very life that existed forever in the fellowship of the Godhead is breathed into your life. And since the love or the life of God is eternal life, this is what you now have. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the life that Jesus came to bring. That's what comes when you invite Jesus into your personal world. So, do you remember what I said when I started, when we were talking about light? Would you like your life? Would you like your Christmas? Would you like your New Year's? Would you like the next portion of your life to be a little bit brighter? We all need more light, right? Would you like to have the light shining in you and through you? Here's how that can happen. It is when Jesus is in you, and when Jesus is shining through you, he who is the light starts to shine his light in your life, and suddenly you begin to have the light of life, not just for yourself, but for others. Because that's really what Christmas is all about. You can boil it down into three things. Jesus came to be the light, and then he called you into the light, and then he calls you to be light. That's what Jesus came to do at Christmas. He came to give us not just any kind of light, but light that would light up the entire world, entire darkness, to dispel the darkness. And hopefully, this Christmas, what my prayer is that our church and us individually would be bearing that light, internalizing that light, and then shining that light, the light of Jesus, this Christmas, this New Year's, and into the new year. That's what I hope our church will do corporately and individually. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for being so good. And thank you for this time that we could spend. Thank you for each and every person who has been here. Thank you that you can just remind us about why you came. Not just that you came, but why. And we're thankful for that. And I pray that we would be mindful of that as we spend the rest of our holidays with our families, or if we go back to work this week, Father, I pray wherever we are, whatever we're doing, that we would be a light in this dark world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.